We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and I'm continuing with a little bit of the ridiculousness of Bill O'Reilly. Now, Bill Clinton appeared on George Stephanopoulos' This Week and did an interview with Stephanopoulos. And I always like hearing Clinton because he is one articulate fellow. And think what you want about his behavior in the Oval Office, his behavior when he was leaving office, which I thought was despicable, the pardoning of all those people that didn't deserve to be pardoned. But Clinton understands world politics. He understands American politics, and he can put himself in other people's shoes. He can take both sides. And so when he starts expounding on a topic, he knows what he's talking about. Now, when he's talking about his own legacy, you got to be careful because he's going to put the best face on it. But in the interview with Stephanopoulos, he criticized George W. Bush. And we'll get to a little bit of the criticism, but I think I will... Well, I should give you a flavor of what Clinton said in the interview, actually, because that'll help some. Because he is a pretty reasonable guy. What everybody picked up on was his criticism of the Bush administration, because they're looking for fireworks. But in fact, Clinton was basically defending Democratic ideals and arguing that Republican ideals are not best for the country. Well, I happen to agree with him on that, and it's okay if you disagree, but that doesn't make Clinton's ideas worthless. It just means you're going to refute them. Now, most of the conversation we're going to get to with O'Reilly and most of the other stuff I've heard in the news media, they're not taking on Clinton's basic ideas. Here are some of the basic ideas he put forth. Stephanopoulos talked about his initiative, and so Clinton went on the air to talk about the Clinton Foundation or whatever it is. But Stephanopoulos wanted to talk about some other things first. So he said, let's begin with Katrina. President Bush brought you into the recovery effort, but he's not taking all of your advice. You said roll back the tax cuts for the wealthy. He says no tax increases of any kind. And we're spending $5 billion a month in Iraq, probably $2 billion on Katrina. Something's got to give. And here's Clinton's response. Quote, well, that's what I think. I think this idea, I think it's very important that America understand, you know, tax cuts are always popular. But about half of these tax cuts since 2001 have gone to people in my income group, the top 1%. I've gotten four tax cuts. They're responsible for this big structural deficit, talking about the Bush administration, and they're not going to go away. The deficits aren't. Now, what Americans need to understand is that means that every single day of the year, our government goes into the market and borrows money from other countries to finance Iraq, Afghanistan, Katrina, and our tax cuts. We've never done this before. Never in the history of our republic have we ever financed a conflict, a military conflict, by borrowing money from somewhere else. And Stephanopoulos goes on, well, the president's not going to move. What should Democrats do? And he says they should continue to oppose it, and he goes on from there. But he makes the point that it's the Chinese that are buying our debt, and it's the Saudis that are buying our debt. And what if they get tired of doing it? Okay, so he's just arguing that borrowing the money from our children and our grandchildren so that we can do the things we feel we have to do now, it just isn't right, and it's not part of the Democratic Party's platform. That's the first thrust of this conversation. The next one, they get into disaster management issues. And he said, well, he thought we did a good job. I don't even know if he's talking about his administration or the country right now. He said, but the racial divide. And Clinton said, well, I think we did a good job of that. He is talking about his administration. He says, for example, we had the lowest African-American unemployment, the lowest African-American poverty rate ever recorded. We had the highest home ownership, highest business ownership, and we moved 100 times as many people out of poverty in 8 years as had been moved out of poverty in the previous 12 years. 100 times as many, he's claiming. We'll get to the fact in a minute, because I have them. This is a matter of public policy, and whether it's race-based or not, if you give your tax cuts to the rich and hope everything works out all right, and poverty goes up and it disproportionately affects black and brown people, that's a consequence of the action made. That's what they did in the 80s, and that's what they've done in this decade. In the middle, meaning the Clinton years, we had a different policy. We concentrated tax cuts on lower-income working people and benefits to lower-income people that helped them move from welfare to work, and we moved 100 times as many people out of poverty. We know what works, and we had a program that drastically reduced poverty. And they got rid of it. They don't believe in it. And I don't think it's race-based. I think it is a class impact. And in Louisiana, if what you do affects poor people disproportionately, then it will disproportionately affect black people. So he's basically saying it's not, Stephanopoulos said, is this a racial divide? And he said, it's not necessarily race, but it's economics, and it can be boiled down to race ultimately because there are poor white people, but you got a higher percentage of black people who are poor. So that was kind of the second part. And that's the part O'Reilly got going about here. And frankly, so did Brent Bozell, who I don't know if I'll have time to get to his comments. Those were in his written columns this week. So Stephanopoulos goes on, and he talks about John Roberts, and Clinton talks about that a bit. I don't think I'll go into that. And then he asks him about Iraq. And this is worth just to show you that Clinton is hardly a left-wing ideologue. Stephanopoulos says, let's talk about Iraq for a second. A lot of Democrats and some Republicans like Chuck Hagel look at the situation and now say, you know what? We don't have that strategy. We're not winning. And Clinton says, we don't. Stephanopoulos, we don't have a strategy for winning, for victory? Clinton, quote, well, if we do, it's not working right now, at least. But I know what they say. Let me step back a little bit. I did not favor what was done. I did favor the Congress giving the president the power to use force, because when he asked for it in his speech in Cincinnati, he basically made the argument I've made many times, which is Saddam Hussein never did anything that he wasn't forced to do, so he needed to know there'd be consequences if he didn't fully comply with the U.S. and UN inspections. But the administration then decided to launch this evasion virtually alone and before the UN inspections were completed with no real urgency, no evidence there were any real weapons of mass destruction there. So I thought that diverted our attention from Iraq and Al-Qaeda and undermined the support that we might have had. But what's done is done. Now the question is, after 58% of those people voted, that is in Iraq, after there's been a heroic but so far unsuccessful effort to put together a constitution that everybody can buy off on, and that the world would be better off if this enterprise did not fail, and if 58% of Iraqis who believed in it were given the chance to govern themselves in a stable and secure environment. I also think they will want us to leave as soon as they can defend themselves. So the stated strategy of trying to develop the security and police forces to the point where they can defend themselves, I think, is the correct strategy. The problem is we may not have in the short run enough troops to do it. And he goes on to talk about that. So this was his interview on Sunday with Stephanopoulos. Now, of course, Stephanopoulos used to work for Clinton in the White House before he became a journalist. And the criticism by the right is that this was a softball interview. And the reason I was going to go into the Brent Bozell thing is he wrote an article this week claiming what a softball interview it was that Stephanopoulos did. He didn't ask Clinton any tough questions. Well, two things about that. First, Bill Clinton is not the current president of the United States. As a former president, he's entitled to respect, but he doesn't necessarily get tough questions because he can't do anything about this stuff. Now, Bozell's position is, hey, Bill Clinton roughed up President Bush. He jumped into the fray and criticized this administration. Stephanopoulos should be asking him tough questions. Well, to what end? Are you going to say, well, you know, your numbers aren't right about your record? Or what is Stephanopoulos supposed to do? Bill Clinton has no responsibilities at this point. George Bush does. The second point is that it was only this summer in June that Brent Bozell published another editorial. Fox News had done an interview. Neil Cavuto had the interview with Bush that many people on the left thought was a softball interview, and Bozell went and defended it and said, no, no, he asked some tough questions. Well, he did ask about certain issues, but everything was framed more than respectfully. There were some softballs in there, just like there were in the Stephanopoulos interview. The president tends to get handled with kid gloves when he goes in a one-on-one interview situation. And so the problem is Brent Bozell, who's a 20 percenter, can only see that Clinton is getting handled with kid gloves. He can't see that George W. Bush is getting handled with kid gloves. And that's just the way 20 percenters are. So let me move on to Bill O'Reilly. I'm doing the last clip first. This is where he claims that he took Bill Clinton apart on his show last night, and we'll get to in a minute his taking apart of it, and then where he made a series of errors and frankly just either made up numbers or is interpreting them wrong, but clearly intellectually dishonest on Bill O'Reilly's part. But here's the bravado the next day claiming that he won.
We had a segment last night, and I just took Bill Clinton apart. I hope you saw it on The Factor, for what he said to George Stephanopoulos about the economy and poor people. And I just demonstrated with facts that what he's saying was just not true. It was simply not true.
Now, what's interesting about Bill O'Reilly and facts, he always makes the argument that his show, The Factor, the TV show, is fact-based. And his no-spin zone applies to him. There's no spinning. So he stops people. Now, he doesn't stop conservatives, typically, and Ann Coulter or whoever. He stops liberals and moderates and that criticize people that O'Reilly agrees with, and he challenges them on their facts and their ideas. Well, wait a minute. What about X? What about Y? So his notion of facts is interesting to begin with. Now, he says he took Bill Clinton apart. What I love about O'Reilly is the bluster and the bravado, and you seem to need that to make it in right-wing talk show host circles. But his attitude is always, like, if somebody won't come on his show, well, they're hiding in their office, or they're hiding under their desk. It never occurs to him that they just don't think that much of Bill O'Reilly. Now, O'Reilly has a big audience, so he assumes anyone should want to come on. But Al Gore won't go on his show, Hillary Clinton won't go on. Why? Because they don't expect they would get a fair shake from him. You know, if you notice where the Bush administration goes for their interviews, I would say probably 2/3 of upper-level Bush administration interviews take place on Fox News because they get handled with kid gloves. And it's no surprise that Democrats are going to shy away from people they think are going to rough them up and not give them a fair shake, what they consider to be a fair shake, and are going to go on with journalists they either think are fair journalists or they think are left-of-center journalists. That's just the way it works. So here is Bill Clinton taking apart. I'm sorry, here is Bill O'Reilly taking apart Bill Clinton. And when we're done, we will review the many errors in Bill O'Reilly's statement.
We had a segment last night, and I just took Bill Clinton apart.
We concentrated tax cuts on lower-income working people and benefits to low-income people to help them move from welfare to work, and we moved 100 times as many people out of poverty. We know what works, and we had a program that was drastically reducing poverty, and they got rid of it. So, and they don't believe in it.
Believe in what? What is Mr. Clinton talking about? What program did Bush get rid of? We called Clinton's office all day looking for an answer to that very simple question. We didn't get one.
So I'm going to stop there. He doesn't say that Clinton's office refused to answer the question. He says we didn't get one. I suspect what's likely to happen is they didn't get through to somebody that could give him an answer. I guarantee you Bill Clinton knows what he was talking about. I don't think it was one specific program that Bush got rid of. I think he meant an overall program, a series of initiatives to fight poverty. And if anybody thinks that Bush was more focused on poverty than Clinton, they don't understand the difference between Republicans and Democrats. You can say that Clinton is focused on the wrong things, or Bush is getting a bum rap because by focusing on building the economy, he'll help the poor. You can say whatever you want, but I guarantee you that Clinton's administration was more focused on helping the poor than Bush. That's just the nature of the two parties. That's who their constituencies are. That's why it works that way. And B, I also guarantee you that Bill O'Reilly cannot out-talk Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton has more facts straight than Bill O'Reilly. Bill Clinton can take the other perspective more easily than Bill O'Reilly. Bill Clinton can listen to other people's criticisms and accept the part that's true and critique the part that is vague or critiquable. And so in a head-to-head matchup, Bill O'Reilly is out of his depth when he tries to take on Bill Clinton. But we're going to hear the rest of that statement and then another one when we come back.
Staying with a rock and roll band in a big old room with a sunny